Yes, I. This song is called Be the Change, inspired by the words of Mahatma Gandhi, who lived for peace and not violence, and told us to be the change.
Have you been overcome with an irresistible urge to wash your potato? Have you looked out at the world and are trying to figure out what in the hell is going on? Well, you know, Ramon and I are doing the exact same thing. We both have this urge to wash our potatoes, and we just can't figure out exactly what's going on out there. So what we're doing here with the 100th Monkey Radio is we are trying to put some of the pieces together, guys. So if you're out there seeking, I think you've come to one of the right places to grab a piece or two to put into your puzzle. So, man, hey, we've got a lot of stuff going on the website. We actually got a couple of guys that are working on giving us a facelift. And from what I've seen so far, it's going to look pretty good. So hopefully it's a lot more user-friendly, and we'll enjoy it, and I hope you will too. So, plus...
What do you think it'll be up by next year or this
year?
Oh,
God, I hope so. I hope we have it by the beginning of the year.
Oh, and speaking of, so we're going to have the 1 year, we'll be selling that, and we'll have the gig sticks. And we found some really cute gig sticks, which you guys will really love. It's a yeah. little monkey.
Yeah, our monkey. It's for the 100th monkey. You guys will love these things, so... We haven't quite figured out a price tag for them, but we'll have something here.
$1 million.
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, we got some great guests coming up too. We got Anelia Benz coming up back on the 4th or the 1st of January. Our first show in 2012. We'll have Anelia on, and then the next week we have Mona Delfino coming back, and we're going to. Talk to Mona in the first hour. In the second hour, she's going to channel the Pleiadians for us, so that should be real interesting. And then after that, we have Klaus Donna. Let's dig into some more of our past with Klaus, like we're going to do tonight. Tonight, we've got somebody who's just kind of came on the scene here in the last couple of years and is really, from what I've seen of his material, is really putting some pieces together and... like I said earlier, you know, more pieces for the puzzle, and he's got some pretty great thoughts. So, and of course, you know, like normally, I always seem to find some parallels between us and the guests, and like Santos Bonacci, I also dropped out of school at 15. Santos, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was watching one of your YouTube presentations today, and you said that, and I was like, oh, okay, I understand that fully. I mean, when I was in school, it was got into the high school here, and I was just bored stiff. I wasn't learning anything, and I don't know. I almost felt insulted by what they were trying to. Make me regurgitate. It was read and write it down. Read and write it down. There was absolutely no creative thought at all. So I just got bored with it. I told the counselors there at school, I said, we have two choices. You can either do whatever needs to be done to get me my GED over at the college, or I'm just going to flat out drop out. So I went and got my GED.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I thought it was a bit like they were treating us like Pavlov's dogs, you know. It was like a laboratory.
an experiment in mind control. I despised every part of it, the regimentation, the whole lot of it. It certainly just destroys your sense of freedom. When I was going to school, there was a great album kicking around called The Wall by Pink Floyd. That's what they were my sentiments.
Yeah, there you go. That's that actually, that movie was pretty amazing. That whole album was pretty amazing for society and the school system in particular, and just pumping out a bunch of drones.
It's funny how that still speaks true to today.
Yeah, for sure. We're not bricks in the wall. And those guys knew what was going on with the manipulation. You know, in all of their albums, they threw a lot of little lines that would reveal their position toward the rulers, the powers that be.
Oh yeah. So Santos, what got you into this field?
All sort of came together to make, which are two components of the quadrivium of the seven liberal arts, of course. Bible studies, which I enjoyed as a Jehovah's Witness. History, I loved my history. I loved etymology. I learned to speak six or seven languages by myself. And all of these things, learning languages, studying etymology and how words are related, you know. I started to study deep things in the 80s, in the early 80s, I would say, when I became a Jehovah's Witness. And I would read Emmanuel Velikovsky and stuff like that. But I was a really good student of the Bible, and I knew that mainstream religion was not teaching the true message of the Bible. I knew that. I knew it instinctively. I just knew it. Something was telling me that this book is misunderstood by all the buffoons getting around professing to have the correct interpretation. And I never did fully harmonize with the Jehovah's Witness interpretation, although I went preaching it as the truth for 22 years, knocking on people's doors. But I would read their books, their publications, like the they have a book on the explaining the book of Revelation. It's a red book. And to me, that book was so childish and stupid, and the conclusions that they came to about the Apocrypha, the Apocalypse and Revelation, were absolutely erroneous, and I knew that. So I had a lot of conflict, I had a lot of conflict, and the conflict has all been ironed out because I've done my studies, and I've proven beyond a doubt what the Bible is. Thousands who have gone before me have.
And what is the Bible?
It's a registry
question here.
Yeah. It's a registry of astronomical phenomena. Nothing more, nothing less. All about astronomy. In fact, the very word Bible tells you. Bible comes from Babel. And Babel is the gate to the gods, or the gate, or we could say the circle of the god El, Bab-El. You see, the Bible, El is the word for the sun. And the Greeks used to call the Bible Helios Graphi, which means the writings about the sun. And that's what it is. In the Bible, you will find characters like Abraham, Jesus, Michael, Emmanuel, Jacob, Jesse, Joshua, Samson, all of them for the sun. So the sun is this hero, if you like, and he goes around the belt of the zodiac, and he goes through the spring months of Aries, Gemini, and Taurus, and he brings us all that blossom and sakura season. And then he ventures forward into the sign of Cancer, Leo, and Virgo, and ushers in the summer months. And as it goes around, he changes his nature 12 times. And he has 12 helpers, you see, 12 apostles. And as he does this, he teaches us the way, the way that we should walk. We should follow the Son. And this is what it's called when he says, follow me. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world. No one goes to the Son. No one goes to the Father except through me. Well, what it's teaching is a beautiful alchemical lesson in transmutation. It's giving us the secrets of wisdom, the Egyptian wisdom that is pure hermetic science. And it's the science of ascension. And churchgoers are missing the whole point.
Where were you on my Sunday Bible school?
Yeah.
You know, I see a lot of different layers in that book. I've gone cover to cover on it several times myself. And, you know, back in the same period, the early 80s, it was the late 80s, I kind of threw myself into that, the Christianity thing, and had quite an experience with it myself. But I see a lot of different layers and a lot of different things that can come out of that book. It's, you know, I found that, I mean, almost any, you can grab damn near any book that I've found that you can open up and you can divinate through almost any book that there is. But the different layers that are embedded in the book of the Bible, the compilation of 66 books, which I found to be a very interesting little number that popped out at me when I was coming out of it, so to say. Noticed that there were 66 books in there. I see a lot of different layers and a lot of different meanings that can be gleaned from it.
Yeah. The number 66 is deliberate, and the layers are definitely there. There are seven layers in the Bible. There's there's the literal rendition for children. There's the allegory. There's the mystical, there's the parable, there's eschatology, there is physiology, you see, because the Holy Land, when it talks about the Holy Land and in the body is a veritable Holy Land. Mm-hmm. You know, we are carrying in our bodies trillions of stars called atoms. And those atoms are organizing the galaxy that is our body. And as our body moves and we direct our bodies through the spirit, because our source is from spirit. So our spirits are guiding these bodies. And as we walk around and we do things like, you know, we walk to the shops and buy some bread and etc., ride our push bikes, all of this, we are doing with a galaxy of stars called atoms. And those atoms arrange themselves so nicely, molecularly, cellularly, and they organize the body into systems where we have a lymphatic system, we have a circulatory system, we have system tissues, we have the limbic system, we have the nervous system, and all of these systems work together harmoniously to produce a wonderful effect here on the body, which on the earth, which is called the human body. And it's a great organism, it's a great creation, and it was created by the spiritual causes, which we call God, the Ein Sof, the prime creator. And the process of creation is quite simple. I'll go into that later. But physiology is in the Bible. For instance, the spinal cord is usually called the sacred river, like the Nile or the Ganges or the Jordan. The pineal gland is considered to be the rod of Jesse, Bible. The chakras are mentioned in the Bible. The bottom chakra, for instance, the bottom two chakras are called Sodom and Gomorrah. The River Jordan runs between the constellations of Aquarius and Orion, which are, Orion is in the constellation of Taurus, which is in the head of the human being. So when you get baptized in the Jordan River, you're getting baptized in the Jordanus or the Eridanus, which is in the head. It runs through Aries and Taurus, which are both in the head. So that means you'd get a baptism of the pineal gland, you see, a baptism of fire. Because in the head are the important parts, the very, very important salvific components of the chakra system. And we have two precious chakras there. And, of course, the lower chakras are also very, very vital. And they are stable. But physiology is in there. And I used a word before, which probably a lot of listeners aren't familiar with, eschatology. Eschatology is in the Bible, and eschatology has to do with end times. Or in other words, the science of predicting the ends of cycles. And there are many cycles, but the most prominent cycle in the Bible that it's dealing with would be the cycle of precession of the equinoxes. And that cycle is about to end in a year's time, on the 21st of December 2012. And a new one will begin. But the Bible has been talking about that. It's saturated with this cycle. It's absolutely saturated with the cycle of precession. And also another cycle, which is called the obliquity of the ecliptic. And that's a 2,160,000 year cycle.
Hmm.
But the precession is absolutely throughout the Bible.
That's quite amazing. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I'm not sure where to go with that. I saw you did a very amazing in one of your presentations with where you showed the parallels of the astrological signs to the constellations and overlaid on the human body. I saw that one picture that you had on your wall there. Could you run through that real quick? Because I think that is just fascinating, the way that you associated all the signs with the physiology and the constellations.
Yeah, sure. See, years ago, they paid attention to these very, very important sciences, especially in Egypt. They knew that the science of ascension and the science of knowing who we are, what we are, where we come from, what are our causes, what are our what's our destiny, where do we go? They understood these far better than we do today. In fact, when we want to study the deeper things of occult science, we always go back to Egypt. Egypt has all the answers. And this is what modern-day Christianity, which is corporate fictional religion, all of Christianity, all of Christendom is set up by Rome as a pure fiction. And its enemy is this science. The enemy of Christianity is to prevent mankind from knowing the true science of ascension, which is hermetic, because when you do that, you're a sovereign, you're not going to be controlled by an empire, you know who you are, you know that you are divine, etc. So Rome came along, and their brainchild is Christianity.
Excuse me for interrupting. Do you think there was malicious intent there, or did they have good intentions that just went astray? You know, lack of foresight, or fail safes built into what they were building, or not thought through well enough to ensure that the purity or the intent for the future was retained.
Good question. Very good question, Tom. I think that both of those things came together, really. But in Rome, the Julian and the Flavian were definitely in many ways mostly responsible for the lie of the historical Jesus as the savior of mankind. Yeah, they did this to for the purposes of enslavement. Everything that they've ever done has been for the purpose of enslavement. Going back to this beautiful science, the Egyptians knew that man is the measure of the universe. In fact, that's what they say. And one of the Hermetic axioms is as above, so below. So the principle of correspondences. So what that means is this: what is in our body is exactly replicated above in the universe. Now, the ancients told us that there were 48 constellations in the sky, and there are. Although today, in modern astronomical books, they tell you that there are 88 constellations. Now, that's true too. For the purposes of the holy science, the science of as above, so below, 48 constellations suffice to enable one to understand this science of the principle of correspondence. You see, the scientists taught us that the year began on March the 21st, on the equinox, the day in which the sun was equal 12 hours of day, 12 hours of night. Perfect balance, perfect harmony, perfect equilibrium. And of course, this equinox, this day of equilibrium, only happens twice in the year, on March the 21st and on September the 20th. And the vernal equinox, the spring equinox, on March the 21st, that happens in the sign of Aries, the Lamb, and the autumnal equinox of September the 21st, that happens in the scales of Libra, you see. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the word Libra, you will find it hiding in many other words. For instance, equilibrium.
Right.
Calibrate. Library, where you go to get books. Now, all of those words contain the word Libra, scales, equilibrium in them. Because that's what exactly happens. The sun is balanced. And it's beautiful to see this balance in the sun, because every other day of the year, 163 days, are days that are unbalanced. In other words, the day will be longer and the night shorter.
Right.
In the summer half of the year, or the nights will be longer and the days shorter. Now, you can ask a group of your friends and do a survey, and you'll find that probably 90% of humanity prefer the longer days and the shorter nights, wouldn't you say?
Well, of course.
Yeah. So yeah. Everybody loves the spring and the summer, and we all look forward to that because that is the season in which we eat. So, but what happens is Aries is the first sign, you see, and in fact the Romans called that month Primus. Primus means first. And, of course, if you go from Primus to Secundus, Tertius, Quartus, Quintus, Sextus, which means sixth, the seventh month is Sept. You see, that's why September is the seventh month and not the ninth month, as we have in the Julio-Gregorian calendar, because it is, in fact, the seventh month. Now, they also understood that our body is exactly replicated. The zodiac signs are replicated in our body because our body is the measure of the universe. And they taught that Aries is the head. Aries is the top of the head. And the bottom of the head is occupied by the next sign, Taurus. And then the two arms belong to Gemini, the twins. So there you have the first quadrant of the year, which is spring. Aries, Taurus, and Gemini. Then after that comes the solstice, of summer, the 21st of June. And that particular cardinal point ushers in signs of Cancer, Leo, and Virgo. Now, Cancer is the chest of the human being. Leo, the lion heart, is right there in the heart. And Virgo is the belly. So here we have half of the body and half of the signs of the zodiac. The top half of the body being spring and summer. Then as the body is divided in two by the scales of Libra in the kidneys, then we travel to the bottom half of the body and we have the fall signs of autumn, Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius. And Libra is the kidneys, the two kidneys, the two points of the scale of balance, you see, because they, the kidneys, are the seat of justice, and the scales stand for justice, the balance of time and the equilibrium of nature. So she gives us that principle of justice in the kidneys. Scorpio is the generative organs, the testes or the ovaries. Sagittarius is the upper thighs. And then after these signs, the autumnal signs, come the winter signs of Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. And they are Capricorn, the knees, Aquarius, the shins, and Pisces, the two fish, are the 2 feet. And this is exactly the stars or the atoms that occupy those 12 houses in our bodies belong to the very houses, the constellations, and the signs of the zodiac above. So, you see, when the sun is in a particular sign, for instance, right now the sun is in Sagittarius. It's the 12th of December, especially in my country it is. He's on that was Tom, but
it's 11th here.
Yeah. Oh. Well, it's still Sagittarius, and right. So Sagittarius, the sun is in Sagittarius. What does that mean? Well, in the human body, that rules the upper thighs and the liver, and it also rules other parts, which I'm not. If I consult my books, I can give you exactly the. The parts that it corresponds with. But look, I'll need to find that. Nonetheless, it's predominantly the liver and the upper thighs. So what it means is that the person, anyone born around this time will be a Sagittarian. And they will have the qualities and characteristics and features of that particular sign, because the sun is a particular sign. And the rays of light which we receive from the angle of the sun at this particular time of the year is what defines the nature of that person being born at that particular time. Now, there's a lot to this science, but that's how astrology works. And you see, so the ancient occult scientists and alchemists, they used the science of astrology to understand how to heal the body. Because let's say if there are afflictions in the natal, in the chart of the native, well, they will have some problems with their bodies. And in fact, every human being has certain conditions, you know, certain health strengths and weaknesses, and all of these have been granted to the native by the planets and the position of the planet, their birth. And so this is why astrology is so important, and because we can heal ourselves free with herbs and crystals, etc. And of course, Rome, who is heavily connected with Big Pharma, does not want us to be able to learn this science, because she would rather have us treat the symptoms and spend millions of dollars buying their putrid chemicals that poison the body and treat the symptoms, rather than have perfect health, which can only be attained by a knowledge of astrology.
It seems like It seems like more and more we're finding that the ancient history, the stuff that's, you know, 1,500 plus years old, is really reflecting that astrology was a huge part of everyday life for people. And then all of a sudden, powers that be seem to demonize it.
Yeah. I have a... the way the sun works, so we have the sun, and then let's go where I was born in Aquarius. So you have the sun, the stars from the Aquarian constellation are shining their rays, and the sun is acting as a magnifying. So anybody born in that time, that energy is being magnified by the sun. So that body, that new body that's coming into life, is absorbing that energy. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes. They're absorbing the particular angle of photons and light and vibrations that come from the sun, electric and magnetic. You see, the moment you breath. The sun will polarize its electrical and magnetic forces in the body, but it will do so in harmony or in disharmony with the other planets. Because as the planets go around in their orbits, if they are opposing the sun 180 degrees, for instance, they will send either debilitating refractive light from the sun to your organism, or they will send harmonious rays. It's pretty much like a sound engineer has to eliminate frequencies that are feeding back, let's say, in a hall or a concert room. There are always certain... structures and dynamics in that space where the acoustics are that will either, you know, will either sound nice, or they will, you know, they will sound either thin or thick. And a good engineer knows how to boost certain frequencies in order to get a rich sound so that the performer can have a good performance and the listeners can enjoy the beautiful music of the concert. So there he is. He sits with his, you know, he might have a 32-band equalizer or something like that, and he's sitting on his desk and he's pulling down frequencies and adjusting them and adding treble and whatnot, because that art... A fully qualified sound engineer who knows the science of vibration, he can adjust the frequencies and tones and everything to get maximum harmonious sound. And so as the orbs go around, and they never trace the same patterns in the sky twice in 4 million years, by the way. There's a 4 million year cycle. In fact, it's 4,320,000 years. And scientists know this as a fact, that planets will not return to their original positions for 4,320,000 years. So in those 4 million years, there are different combinations of energies being sent to this planet Earth, and different creatures, say, or with different conditions. So people born on the same day even will not be alike. It's like snowflakes, you know. There's no two snowflakes. There's no two people that are alike on the planet. So they are always producing different effects and different results and different dynamics as they go around, you see. And that's how it works. And it all has to do with primarily the sun. astrology is dependent primarily on the sun. It's not dependent on the signs per se, because they are shifting. You see, there's a phenomenon called precession of the equinox, which causes the 12 signs of the zodiac to precess. In other words, they will never stay in one position. Every 24,000 years, they slip backwards 30 degrees, 30 degrees every 2,000 years. So, for instance, in the last 2,000 years, we've been in the age of Pisces, because that's where the vernal equinox is found.
So why do you use the 24,000 year number? Where do you get that number from? Most that I've heard of was the 25,920 year cycle.
Yeah, and look, good question, Tom. I usually preface the that figure with information to explain why I use the 24,000. When corrected, that particular cycle reduces to 24,000 years. And 25,920 years is also correct. The Egyptians also used that number. So they're both correct. There's a difference of nearly 2,000 years there. But that's because as we go around our binary star Sirius. We're in a binary.
Okay, that's what I thought was coming, because I've thought about this myself. The speeding up and slowing down as you get closer to your binary.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and I do explain and cover that in my presentations on YouTube. So there must be at least 20 to 30 hours of information, and I usually manage to put at least 50 or 60% of new information in all of my presentations. So you can't just watch one and expect to understand everything about the science. This is why I have spent a lot of time producing these presentations and filming them. And I have 12 videos on my YouTube channel for this very reason, because it takes a lot of studying and a lot of understanding to be able to understand this science and all the aspects of it. It's very, very...
very. What's your YouTube channel?
Mr. Astrotheology.
Mr. Astrotheology. Is that M-I-S or M-R?
M-S...
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. M R, and then A S T R O, T H E O L G Y.
Okay.
But all one word, Mr. Astrotheology. And there are other videos there by other astrologers and astrotheologists, etc. There's Jordan Maxwell and Michael Cesarian and Suzar and Manly P. Hall, and there are lots of other videos, not just mine. I've put there's a lot of videos there on science, on plasma cosmology. There's videos there, are truth videos there about every subject, about etc. It's a real sort of eclectic package, if you like.
So I really like the analogy you made there a minute ago with the soundboard, a good sound technician relating this to the astrology thing. So that would be like an awesome commercial for some astrologer, you know, that going about it that way. The whole astrology thing has absolutely always fascinated me, the way we are imprinted with tendencies and predispositions at birth through the magnetic or electromagnetic energies that are focusing on that place on the planet that you are born in. Do you actually follow? You obviously follow astrology. Are you an astrologer yourself?
Yes, I am. In that, I understand the science and know the science. To that extent, I am. I can read. I can do readings for people, and I can point out their physical weaknesses. And I've never been wrong, never, because the science is it can't be wrong. It's like a snowflake, you know. When you see a chart, a person's chart, you can point out to them. You can point out whether they're going to have circulatory problems or liver problems, kidney problems. Skeletal problems, spinal problems, headaches, anything. It's all there. And I've done thousands of these charts. And I primarily focus on those aspects first when I do someone's readings, you know. First thing I notice is the oppositions. There are certain lines in the chart. For instance, 180 degrees. If the position, and then there's another planet exactly 180 degrees opposed to it, that will be an opposition, you see. And so when you understand what degree of the sign that the planet is in, then you're able to consult your charts and work out what weakness the native will have. For instance. Here's just a small example. In the sign of Aries, there are three deacons. You know, there are it's 30 degrees. A deacon is 10 degrees. So the first and the second and the third deacon, the first deacon of Aries is the skull, the second is migraines, and the third one will be concentration. So if a person has an affliction in the third deacon of Aries, they will have problems with concentration because Aries rules the head. But if they have, if their sun is afflicted in the 15th degree of Aries, for instance, so they would have to be born, they'd have to be born on the 6th of April for that to happen, or the 7th of April. That would be 15 degrees Aries. Well, if they have an affliction there, they'll be getting migraines. And I've picked hundreds of these, literally hundreds of them. And every sign has their deacons, and every sign has their respective organ or feature that will be either afflicted or boosted by the positions in the native's birth chart. Mm.
I have a two-part question. The going back a little bit, back to the baptism. With the baptism, is that more of a Kundun awakening, a Kundalini awakening?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, and yep. And the second part to that is, as a human species, where we're at now, is there something in the stars that's what's happening with people more and more people waking up? What is it in the stars itself that's pushing this awakening?
Oh, look, Ramon, these are two superb questions. These are absolutely fantastic questions, and it's my pleasure to answer them because they need to be answered correctly. You will not get an answer to these in the churches, and the churches will not be able to answer these at all. Now, the Bible talks about, right? This is what people aren't aware of, usually, and the baptisms are these: the baptism of death, the baptism of water, the baptism of spirit. And the baptism of fire. Right? Now, so when we are born, with bodies. And that is the baptism of death. Because the moment you have a physical body is the moment you begin to die. Because what is born in time must be destroyed in time. Time is a killer. And Saturn, the grim reaper, the planet which is called Kronos, chronology, the timekeeper. It is through the rings of Saturn that souls descend to come to this earth. And so he is the timekeeper of this experience in time and that takes it away from us. That is the baptism of death that the Bible talks about. Then there is a baptism of water, right? So the body is earth. You see, there are four Platonic elements: earth, water, spirit, and fire, or air and fire. You'll be more familiar with that. So let's do that again. The four elements. Everything in the universe is made of earth, water, air, and fire. And these are the four baptisms, okay? These are the four baptisms by which we must be baptized in order to transmute and to experience metamorphosis and apotheosis, which means becoming gods and returning. We must have these baptisms, and they all take place along the spine, along the chakra system, which is the kundalini. Just as you you asked in your question there, Ramon, does it have to do with the kundalini? Well, it does. So the bottom baptism, what that is the baptism of water that Christians have. That's the second baptism, because they already have bodies, and those bodies need to be purified. And the symbol, the perfect symbol, or the perfect element to symbolize the purification of the body would be water. Water is the universal sovereign. You can clean anything with water, almost anything. So this is why Christians symbolize their spiritual progress back to cause, firstly, with a water baptism, because they are purifying their bodies. Now, this takes place in the lower chakras. This is not by any means or any stretch of the imagination the final baptism. This baptism with water will not save, because one has to go through the heart chakra to be baptized with the spirit, and then one needs to go through the throat chakra and into the head, the cranium, to be baptized in the Jordan River, which is the baptism of the spirit, you see. So in the Gnostic Christian system, they separated these four distinct baptisms, and they called them the hylic, the psychic, the spiritual, and the mystical. So the hylic has to do with the body, the earth, the fleshly. The psychic is the water baptism. So in other words, people who go to church and have experienced this water baptism, what's happened is they have become initially spiritually awakened. That's why they go around with all their zeal saying, oh, Jesus has saved me, I've been baptized, and oh, I'm on the road to salvation, etc. Well, true, but only partially true. There's the baptism of spirit, which is air, that needs to be had. And the only way that one can be baptized in the spirit is by understanding the allegory and the true message in the Bible. They need to be initiated, you see. So, and then once that's done, the Jews have a system whereby the word paradise, P-R-D-S, you see, they don't write with vowels. They just have consonants. And paradise, P-R-D-S, they have four words that are encrypted in this word. Pradesh, Remez, Drash, and Sud. Corresponds with highly spiritual wisdom. And what this is doing is stifling the spiritual of churchgoers.
Jeez, you and, think?
Yeah. Yeah. I do think. Now, the second question, I know I've only, I haven't really thoroughly answered that first question, but that should suffice. That's plenty of information really there to understand that process. But the second question now, can you refresh my memory there, Ramon, please?
Yeah, actually, we're down to 5 minutes.
So yeah, we wanted to talk about what the stars are saying right now for our world and why people are waking up and everything. But that's probably too big of a subject to fit in 5 minutes. So
I'll ask the question again, and then we'll continue that in the second hour. But the question was, with the awakening that's happening, what is it in the stars that's pushing these awakening? It's like a lot of people, more and more, some people, for example, I forgot the name of the movie. There's a guy who, he's just a film, regular film guy, never was into any of this, and one day woke up and started seeing ghosts and beings and talking to them, and they were talking to him, and yeah, I forgot the name. Oh, it's called Awake, the movie.
Yeah.
But that was the question. So what is it in the stars?
Here's a quick question for you, Santos. Have you had any paranormal experiences in the sense of communication with spirits or off-worlders or anything of that sort?
Not like the common ones getting around. You know, people are seeing UFOs and talking to extraterrestrials and things like that. No, no. But I must say that I'm a person who, like the ancient mystics of old, Pythagoras and Hermes, etc., I'm a person who does take entheogens. Entheogens are psychedelic plants and plants that infuse theos, because that's what entheogen means.
Right.
God. But the in the mystery schools, they would make the adherents, the initiates, eat. Well, Christianity, for instance, is based on the Amanita muscaria mushroom, you see. Right. They would dry the flesh of this beautiful mushroom, and they would give it to the initiates, and the initiates would have out-of-body experiences, you see. These days, they give you a dry bit of bread called the Eucharist, and nothing happens. No communion with the gods, nothing. And they do that deliberately. But Christianity is based on psychedelics. That's what it's all about.
Oh, can you imagine if communion nowadays was was a mushroom? Oh, my
word. Yeah.
Talk about revitalizing spirituality in the church.
Yeah, well, these buffoons, I remember when I was a Jehovah's Witness, the buffoons that are there, the elders, etc., would remind the brothers, we don't take drugs because mind-altering drugs. And they put everything under a dirty sounding, severely stigmatized label, like drugs. You know, they throw narcotics, barbiturates and amphetamines and all of these nasties that are, you know, devised by absolute evil little scientists working for the elite to poison people, like crack and cocaine and all of these crappy substances that actually do a lot of damage. And they put hallucinogens and psychedelics, natural plants, in there with that. And they lump them all together, you see, deliberately, to confuse people.
I like the word cocaine. You're in league with Cane. You know, that seems to me like that. The word for that was it comes straight out of the Bible. I mean, it's like, okay, are you going to go slay Abel if you're going to do this drug? You know.
Yeah, good one. I've never thought of it like that, but there you go, Cain, of course. Mm.
So, once again, for our BBS listeners, let us know where they can find you.
I have a website, universaltruthschool.com. I have a YouTube site, Mr. Astrotheology. And I'm doing, I also have my music site, of course. That's music at, that's santos.net.au, because that's my profession. I'm a musician. But I'm also contactable at contact@universaltruthschool.com. And look, I encourage people to hop on YouTube mostly because that's where all the information is and it's free and well-researched information.
Yeah. So are you working on a book?
No.
Hmm.
No. I started to write a book, but I decided that the video format would be more beneficial prior to 2000 to the 21st of December 2012. After that, I will write a book.
There you go.
Can people find you on Facebook or?
Yes. Santos okay. Bonacci on Facebook.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for joining us for this first hour on BBS with the 100th Monkey and Santos Bonacci, and we shall see you guys over in the members section on the 100thmonkeyradio.com. And let's see, condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.
And yeah. The love you deny is the pain you carry.
All right, we love you guys, and we will see you. Oh, we have
Brooks. Oh, yeah.
Brooks is coming up next, so check out Brooks and then pop on over to listen to the second hour of this.
Yay!
Yes, I. This song is called Be the Change, inspired by the words of Mahatma Gandhi, who lived for peace and not violence, and told us to be the change we wish to see in the world. Us. Everybody wants change, but tell me who will guide us. To the leaders that pass away, put up your lighters. It's a beautiful struggle, but it cannot divide us. We're the ones that we've always been waiting for. See yourself in the mirror and open up the door. Walk through it and feel the love throughout your pores. Be the light, life's purpose is to feel joy. Metaphysical, lyrical, standing up for truth. The only one to make change is walking in your shoes. Be the example, don't complain about the news. Making music and serving the world with the loop.